sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big stone and I borrow. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to Curtis. Curtis, thank you very much for waiting, man. Really appreciate you hanging on. You say what? You socialist. You.
I say I'm the king of the socialists. And I myself can change the world. I myself can do this. I can do anything because I'm the king. But anyway, my whole thing is people have no idea when they live in a bubble in the suburbs and they have rich friends. They have no clue how a poor person lives, you know, or a person that's a working person. We'll just say a working person like myself. Because let me tell you, not only Kroger does what they do, it's going to go to like 2 to 5 or 3 to 5 on welfare and food stamps, because don't forget Walmart does the same exact thing.
Yes.
Walmart has. I have friends that live up north that they're so-called conservative, and they one is a Walmart greeter. It's my friend's grandma, and let me tell you, she has. If it wasn't for Medicare and her Social Security, she'd be homeless. Because she works at Walmart, and they don't give her nothing. And her friend just died 2 weeks ago. And people don't realize, when you work at Walmart, you sign a paperwork saying that you get $25,000, like insurance policy on you. And you think when you die you get that money, but actually Walmart keeps that money. She couldn't believe it. She started crying. Her friend's husband needed that money. Well, they don't get the money. Walmart gets that money. So people realize they wake up, because let me tell you, if we don't get more unions out there and people caring about one another, and instead of caring about the almighty dollar, it ain't gonna get better. It's gonna get worse.
You know, Curtis, man, that's why I'm not anti-American, man. I'm pro human being. Okay, I don't care where the human beings are. You know. We all have that in common, man. We're all human beings. And so human beings shouldn't be divided by continent nor by wealth. Money, how can it be possible, man, that we can allow a piece of paper, right? Come on, come on, man. How can that be more valuable and more important than a human being?
We're all trying to fight for the almighty dollar.
What the hell is a piece of paper, man? The dollar, they're going to say, well, it represents more than that. Whatever it represents, in the end, all you can buy with that are things. Curtis, correct me if I'm wrong. You buy things. And how can those things then have more value than a human being?
Oh, correct. And people, years ago, when we were not even when I was a little kid, my father always said, you know, you can always replace money, but you can't replace people. You know?
Yeah.
Our value is nothing there. I mean, if you get in a car accident, you get $250,000 if you die in the car. You know, all insurance can pay the same thing. So it's like they put a value on that, but you can't replace the person, you know? You can't replace a person.
Well,
but unless people start putting people before money, it ain't going
to
change.
Well, but in a capitalistic society, let's cut to the chase, as they like to say, or used to like to say. I don't know what they say now. The value of a human being is only, you know, what it's worth to his loved one.
Okay.
And to people who don't know that human being, or, you know, then the value of that life is minimal. It has you know, paper money has a greater value than that human life. And in this country, we're proud of that, right? We're kind of proud of the fact that people who have money are elevated above other human beings. Man, how stupid can that be?
Well, I know. Well, the thing behind it is, you know, like you were saying, my sister was murdered and raped in 1997 and thrown in the garbage can on 6th and Mitchell. And let me tell you, unless you know something or someone that dies, you don't really, it's almost like people would get shot. Like if you watched American Idol the other day when Katy Perry went crazy because of the gun thing. That kid, if you can see his face, he's got no facial expressions, but all his friends got shot in school. Unless you're involved in a shooting or involved in somebody getting killed, you really don't express it. You don't change it. You share my what do they say? My prayers and thoughts go out with you, but that's not nothing. Unless you know the person, unless you know the individual, you can't really wrap yourself around the grief, you know? And that's exactly how money goes. People can, they can hold money in their hand and they feel rich. But unless they hold the person in their hands, they really don't understand. And that's where it's going towards. It's terrible.
Hey, Curtis, man, thank you very much for waiting. Thank you very much for chiming in. Let me do this. I want to move to Joe Biden. And Joe Biden has approved of major drilling in Alaska. It's called the Willow Oil Project. And Joe Biden has been nonstop talking about the environment. That's it. He ran on the environment. He certainly at no point led anybody to believe that he would be willing to agree to one of the most, the largest federal drilling projects in the history of this land. And he's done this in the face of knowing that he's going to anger many of the people who supported him because of his conversations about climate change. And to turn around and do a 360-degree turn and say yes. Look, I get it. There is pressure that he's feeling because the price of gasoline right now here in Waukesha, I think it's $3.10. In Milwaukee, I think it's $3.19. And yes, it's been clearly a little on the high end, but certainly down from a year or so ago when it was over $4 and some odd cent and approaching $5. And that's been something that has impacted President Biden's presidency. He's certainly been aware of it. He's felt the slings and the arrows that have been fired his way, blaming him for the cost of oil, the increase in the oil and the gas prices. And even though he would stand and look right in the camera and basically deny it, it's been a stickler with him. And it's been an albatross on his back. And so he's made this decision, a massive new oil drilling scheme that will lead to decades of air and climate pollution is what the outcome of this is going to be. U.S. President Joe Biden on Monday green-lighted a massive oil drilling project on federal land in Alaska, eliciting outrage from the climate advocates who say the administration's accompanying restrictions on oil and gas leasing in the region cannot make up for the destruction set to be unleashed by the approved Willow Project. Progressives sought for months to dissuade Biden from approving ConocoPhillips' $8 billion Willow Project, noting that it could enable the production of more than 600 million barrels of crude oil over 30 years. If all of that oil is burned, roughly 280 million metric tons of heat-trapping carbon dioxide emissions will be spewed into the atmosphere at a time when the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres warns that the planet is reaching a point of no return. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts? If you're a Democrat or progressive, do you think that what Joe Biden is doing with this project is the right thing to do? Certainly, the belief of many short-term is that it's going to alleviate some of the crunch that people are dealing with right now and the shortages and bring the prices down. That's not going to happen overnight. The drilling and setting all that into motion is not going to happen overnight. And it may not take place until after Joe Biden, where drilling finally begins, until Joe Biden is gone. But he's made this decision now. He's got to live with it. What are your thoughts? 844-967-2789. I'm sure there are Republicans who will be celebrating. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. I want to be high. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. President Joe Biden has agreed to allow massive drilling in Alaska. It's called the Willow Project. And he has incurred the wrath of many who supported him. And because part of his platform was climate change and the dangers associated with it. But he's turned completely 360 degrees in allowing to have this drilling on the sacred land, governmental land. And it sold this contract to this oil drilling company. And, you know, what are your thoughts? Let's go to Karina. Hey, Karina, how you doing, my friend? What are your thoughts? Well, yeah, I can hear you. We can hear you. We
can hear you. Hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you see, I just want to offer information, right? And maybe talk about it. Right, wrong, is the question. It's a hard question. But the thing is, one way or another, the problem, one of the problems, what's happening right now with the oil is that the fact when you refine the oil, you get three main products. Benzene, right? It's a gas, what we're using for a car. And then we have a kerosene, and we have a diesel. Unfortunately, compared to other countries, in America, majority of transportations happen on semi, which needs a diesel. As soon as Trump administration got into with Venezuela, and now Biden administration got into with Ukraine and Russia, America stopped purchasing the oil from those two regions, which are deep land oil, okay? And only deep land oil, heavy oil, capable of producing enough for semi trucks to move around. So basically, this is why our produce getting up in prices, because this is how you transport. This is how the engine are working, the big engines are working on the diesel. And you see, before you screw up your relationship with the other countries, you kind of have to think about it. What will it cost you in the long run? You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying, but the other side of that equation is the fact that we are poisoning the earth. We're poisoning the people. And so, you know, there's no question that the products that we all use on a daily basis are moved around by truck. Trucking is the number one method of moving around the things that we use on a daily basis. It's a delicate balance. But the question then, Karina, becomes, are we willing to poison the air, the water, and the land to that end?
Well, I guess we are, because we're getting into a conflict with the Ukraine and Russia. We're getting into a conflict with Venezuela. So somebody on the earth has to do it. Whether it's going to happen in Russia or Venezuela, or it's going to happen on Alaska, which is the closest place to Russia, funny that they're going to pollute them first before America. That's exactly what you're saying, Earl. It's a very delicate balance. So instead of opening up new whales, and especially in Alaska, you see, the colder you get, the more gentle the environment becomes, because it's very easy to spoil that environment, and everything around it is going wrong.
Hey, Karina.
Because the balance...
Karina, we've got to go to a break.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. 847-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to Ron from Milwaukee. Hey, Ron, thank you very much for calling. Thank you for listening. You say what, sir? Ron, are you there? Okay, so we'll... Okay, Ron is gone. Let me do this. Okay, so I want to go to, I guess that's him calling back, man. But if, while we're waiting on Ron, I want to talk a little bit about the GOP, and it's become the pro-child labor party. So we're going to talk a little bit. Many people may not be aware, but in this country, there are children working in dangerous positions. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hello, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for the call. You say what, my friend?
Well, you can't simply come up with the word socialist. I want to interject a different word.
Oh, go ahead.
And that would be missionary.
You know, I we all should be that, right?
Yeah, as
human beings, quickly, we all should be that. But go ahead.
Quickly to define it, missionary is when we're involved, when we take care of someone else besides ourselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As human beings, we should all aspire to that, right? We have the capabilities of that, each and every one of us.
We sure do, and I spend a couple hours most mornings taking food out on the near west side of Milwaukee to individuals on the street, and I pulled up to one woman several months ago, and she said, "Thank you. I haven't had anything to eat in 3 days." That just filled my heart. Able to help somebody like that.
Let me ask you, Bob, because there are people who believe there aren't hungry people in this country. Well, what do you say to people who think that that's not the case?
I think that they're being myopic, that they're blind to what's really going on around them, and yeah. That. And they're really ignoring what's going on in society. We really need to take care of each other. And the more we take care of each other, the more we become family.
When we're
all family, then we all care for one another.
Bob, we're all family anyway, whether we want to accept it or not. You know, human beings aren't separate from other human beings. You know,
that's
who we are. And it does not matter if there are people who see it from a different prism. The truth of the matter is we're all of the human family. And we need to start acting like that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bob, thank you. And you know.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank God for people like you. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Let me go here. Let's talk about child labor. You know, people may not be aware of this. In February, the New York Times published a front page report from Pulitzer Prize winning reporter Hannah Dreyer that shed light on the shocking reality. Migrant children are being illegally exploited in staggering numbers, working brutal jobs in kitchens and factories, hotels and slaughterhouses across the United States. Bet many of you in the listening audience were not aware of that. And even for those of you who are aware of it, we don't see it. And so because we don't see it, you know, it's out of our purview. Let's do this. Let's bring Ron on. Ron, I'm sorry, you're back. Yes, sir.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem.
On the oil issue, oil drilling issue, well, I'm one of those who thinks the sooner we get off oil, the better. But that said, I think this is a game of high political jujitsu, and let me explain. There's a whole bunch of federal lands in Alaska and elsewhere that were opened up to drilling before Biden became president. And he had to decide whether to go ahead and continue those permits. And he killed off all of the permits except this one. It's a big one. And I think the reason for that is, if he had killed off all the permits, there would have immediately been a ton of lawsuits from drilling companies supported by conservative movement conservatism and judges who are conservative, and it probably would have gone all the way to the Supreme Court. And there, and I think the White House's fear was that this would be another thing that the Republicans have taken away from the president, the right to decide these kinds of issues. So he threw them this, thinking they're going to be happy with this. And they have no basis to sue, really. And meanwhile, the tribes and the other people affected up there, environmentalists and everybody, are going to sue and try to stop it. Whether they stop it is up to the same courts that would try to open up those sites. So,
but Ron,
not going to matter.
Why would he run the risk, knowing that allies who supported him, that he would be more concerned about the other side of this than, and I know as you stated, politically, but politically he's damaged himself for people.
Absolutely.
Who supported
but it was a no-win. No, I'd say absolutely. I'm upset, but you know, the question is some people would say, well, that's it. I'm not going to vote for him again.
Right.
I would, given him as the nominee for a second term, should he get through the Democratic primaries, I would vote for him again because he will be clearly
the lesser of
two evils. However, I'm sure that he will lose some votes along the way. But what I'm saying is, in the short run, he was thinking, if I ban all these drilling sites, it'll give the opposition an opportunity to claim that I don't have the presidency doesn't have the right to take away these licenses that were already issued. And so I'm going to issue this one license, which was the closest apparently to being started, and it's a big one. And then I'm going to kill off all the other ones. So I'm protecting most federal lands, and I'm staking a claim that I have the right to make these decisions. And now the people most likely to sue are the environmentalists and the tribes. But either way, there was going to be a lawsuit. The question is, which one was going to be more narrow in its decision making? You know, it's political jujitsu. I don't know that it makes a lot of sense. I think if I were in his shoes, I would have just said, we got to move on. And then Karina was talking about, well, we need this diesel oil so we can power our trucks and trains and everything else. Well, that's true. But, you know, there's a transition period where we have to rely on those vehicles. But that's without this oil, that gives us an incentive to start producing more electric vehicles. And the fact is, this oil isn't going to be coming out of the ground for at least 5 years. It takes that long to get the pipe drilled and put in place. So in 5 years, everything's going to look entirely different.
You know, Ron, the other thing I said was he certainly, and look, nobody ever said being the president of the United States was an easy undertaking. You're going to, the slings and arrows, you're going to accrue those. But he's been around a long time, and he understands the political aspects of this. But to you know, in the face of the people and your allies, and you have heard nothing but Joe Biden supporting climate change and clean energy. That's all he's ever talked about. To then turn around and do this, you know, under the duress, and really re-election is really what's at the root of it. Would you agree?
I agree. And again, it wouldn't have been my call, but I can understand, I can see what they're thinking, you know. And I just think, though, that the Democratic Party, whoever the candidates are, need to put a clear line in the sand and say, look, we are not going over this line anymore. We're just going to, even if we lose, even if the other side wins, this is our stance, so that the voters and the American people know exactly where we stand and why. So, well, this has just fuzzed that up some more.
So, Ron, because at the root of all of it in the end is we know what the outcome of it, this is going to be if we don't get off this fossil fuel, right? I mean,
absolutely. This is going to create millions of tons of the oil that's extracted and used. It's going to create millions of tons of carbon dioxide pollution, and we can't afford to have any more carbon dioxide pollution. I'm encouraged that there are some factories and refineries around the world, mostly in other countries, of course, where they have now taken to capturing when there's smoke going up the smokestack from these refineries. They have managed to figure out a way to capture the smoke, process it, and remove the carbon dioxide, liquefy it, and then put it in the building concrete blocks where it's permanently encased. So it doesn't get into the air, and it won't get into the air because the concrete basically lasts forever. So we could be doing that, but you know what stops that? Capitalism, because it's like, oh, that's an extra cost. Well, you know, guys, your business should not be able to make money by ruining the planet. Yes, you have to incur those costs. And the customers should get used to the idea that that is going to be a cost. And electric vehicles, alternative fuels in general, your solar panels for your house are already cheaper than fossil fuels.
But you know, Ron,
is just going to...
Ron, that's a common sense perspective, right? That we know what's coming. We know what the outcome, if we don't change the direction and trajectory of what we've been doing and what we're doing. Scientists on both sides, Republican and Democrats, both agree. So this is a no-brainer, man. You know, we don't have any other option, right? If you want there to be life after we're gone, this is something that has to take place. Is it a tough decision? Yes, a tough decision. But you got to make the right decision, even though it's tough, right?
And like you said, he telegraphed his position, which is no more drilling.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that was an overstatement probably, because there were probably already approved permits that haven't been exercised, you know, that people could drill when they wanted to. And actually, there are many, many, many permits out there for drilling in the coastal waters and on land in the U.S.
Hey.
But he really can't stop those.
Hey, Ron, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
you've given me. The memories are all in my mind. And now that we've come to the end of our rainbow, there's something I must say out loud. You once, twice, three times later.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that we have children all over this nation, children working in hazardous jobs. And many of them, the majority of them, are migrant children. They're working in jobs that many adults don't want to work at. You know, kitchens, factories, hotels, slaughterhouses across the United States. And despite identifying as the party that protects children, Republicans haven't exactly jumped to end, you know, this practice. In states like Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio, Arkansas, the leading efforts to roll back child labor protection in the name of filling jobs. According to the chief author of the Minnesota bill, State Senator Rich Draymond, listen to this lunatic. Eliminating work opportunities for youth just because of their age will make it even harder for businesses to find reliable employees. Somebody voted for this genius to represent them at the state level in Minnesota. Let me repeat what he had to say. Eliminating work opportunities for youth just because of their age will make it even harder for businesses to find reliable employees. But of course, children don't need opportunities to wash dishes, change bed sheets, or operate heavy machinery. The United States has historically prided itself on the successful eradication of child labor. Are we going to allow those standards to be loosened now just because it would satisfy the almighty profit motive? Yes, is the answer to that. Because that is where the nation has been headed, not just over the last couple months, or because this lunatic has proposed that. This has been an ongoing thing in this nation now for far too long. Dreyer's report exposes a new economy of exploitation. Children have fled economic despair in their home countries and arrived and one all too willing to turn that desperation into profit. Our dysfunctional immigration system makes it easier for kids to come here than for their parents, and the Trump administration's family separation policy made it even worse. Take Carolina. Yock, one of the children Dreyer profiled, by day she is a typical ninth grade student, but by night she works at a food plant in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where she packs plastic bags full of Cheerios into box after box after box. These 17-hour days are taking a toll on Carolina. Most days she wakes up tired and sick. She can't afford to skip work, so she skips school instead. Carolina is one of thousands of migrant children who work full-time in the United States, and they're not just working for local businesses that will hand them cash under the table. These kids baked dinner rolls sold at Walmart and Target, processed milk used in Ben and Jerry's ice cream, and helped debone chicken sold at Whole Foods. These are brands we all know. We might have food in our pantries that was packaged by Carolina or another child like her. How can it be How can that possibly be in the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth? How can that be? Well, how can that stuff go on and we are aware of it? If people were not aware of it, this article and this story that's being written that we're talking about, then you would think that once this article went before the world, that if it wasn't true, you would have had pushback on it by now. But it is true. And so if it's true in our nation, how great can a nation be? Monopolizing, taking advantage of children. I don't care if, you know, if they're from Central America. Well, they're not Americans. What difference does it make? They're children. And yet we know that businesses are taking advantage of that situation, and we won't open our collective mouths. Shame on us all. We've got to challenge the nation to do right. You've got to challenge the people who run the nation to do right. And the hell with the fact that there's profit to be made. There's gold in them thy heels. Man, these are children. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to be children. And the fact that they come from a situation that is just horrible doesn't mean they should come to our nation and then be taken advantage of for the almighty dollar. I know, I know. This is America, the greatest nation on earth, is what is said. Let's try to live up to it. And you can never say it's the greatest nation on earth when we've got children who basically are being treated as if they're chattel. They're chattel. They're not. They're human beings. Gotta go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, as always, Calvin. And, man, thanks to the man, Brian Kelly, who, you know, picked us up off the dead-end street that we were on when the power went out. Thank you, Brian. Man, we can't do it without you. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
You once, twice, three times a lady, and I love you. I love you.